Blog Talk Radio.
Right here, what we're going to do is go back.
Radio, the place where knowledge is born. This is your host, Knowledge Born Alive, here on our Thinking Out Loud Thursday. And the honor to have in our midst a multi-talented, multifaceted entrepreneur comes to us in the divine and righteous name of Queen Dawn Rise, owner and CEO of Infinite Queen Natural Healing in the building. So special guest by special request, that phone number to call in, family, 929-477-1755. Again, 929-477-1755. Press 1 with your questions or your comments. Because my honor and privilege at this time to represent the others. Tonight's guest on Thinking Out Loud Thursday, Her Majesty is in the building, Queen Dawn Rise.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm grateful to be here. Blessed.
All right. So we're going to begin with an introduction. So you take as little or as long as you like to introduce yourself to the family, let them know who you are.
Okay. I am Dawn Rise, Ma'at Queen, owner of Infinite Queen Natural Healing and Infinite Queen Natural Products. I sell natural products for hair, skin, body pain relief. I'm able to help people. I'm a counselor. I'm a social worker. I'm a career support specialist. I do it all for helping my people. All I do is work all day, every day. I help people with all different sorts of services. I have an Instagram. I have a Facebook. I have a YouTube. I'm everywhere. If look up Infinite Queen 323, you'll be able to find me. I've been doing this now for about a little bit over 5 years. I just celebrated 5 years in business, and I started with natural products.
So what was kind of like the catalyst for you to get started in the business since you were there? And then we could kind of get into some other things. What was it that inspired you, motivated you, whatever the case may be, for you to go out there as an entrepreneur? Because, you know, many of us, we got the aspirations. We'd be like, yeah, I want to go for it. But, you know, ain't no security blanket out there. There's no, you know, safety net. You just out there. Walking the tightrope.
I'm just out there.
You understand what I'm saying? So what was kind of like the catalyst for you? Start?
Let's see. I got a couple. But here, story, here go. Okay.
Yeah.
It all started because of my natural products. I've lived over 15 years since I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And I took a couple years, and I just was like, you know, I went through the changes of like, this is happening to me. This is my life. What am I going to do? So I first decided, it go way back. I was going to go to school, and I knew I wanted to do something that was going to help people. So that's when I went for social work. And then from social work, then I went into counseling. And while I was doing that, that's what I say, it's a bit of a story, but while I was doing that, I was using some different products and stuff. I get all my products that I sell from Nigeria. And when I was using it, I heard that there was this pain reliever, something that I could use that could help for pain. I tried everything. I was like, okay, I don't care. I'm going to try whatever the universe sends my way that can help me, especially with 15 plus. Well, at that point, it wasn't 15 years, but I was about 10 years at that point. And I'm like, okay, I've been dealing with this pain. Let me get these products. So I got them in, and I tried it. And I was having excruciating pain. And for those who don't know about multiple sclerosis, it affects your central nervous system, which is your brain and your spine, and it sends messages throughout your body. And what it was sending throughout my body was excruciating pain. And because of that, I was having severe muscle spasms. I started rubbing that on. You know, I would rub it on my legs, my foot, my arms, anything, and I'm like, well, dang, this is really working for me. If this is working for me with the pain that I have, I knew that this is something I need to get out there because that's my focus in helping other people. If I find out anything, people who know me know, if I learn anything, I'm passing the message on. Even while I was in graduate school and even getting my bachelor's, anything I learned, I would pass it on to others. Because that's what we need to do as a people, each one teach one. So that's what I began doing. I was doing that. And I said, you know, I'm going to pass this on. And I opened up Infinite Queen, then natural products. And that's how it all got started, with just the products. And then, if you want me to go on, I don't want to keep going and going.
Keep going. You flowing, you know.
Okay, I'm in the zone. But okay, so from there, then I decided, you know, I got done with graduate school, and I got two masters in community counseling and rehabilitation counseling. And when I did that, I'm like, it's time, because I already have my bachelor's in social work. I already been working as a career support specialist. I was already doing all the stuff, And I said, you know what? It's time for me to let my light shine. It's time for me to speak up, show up, and show out, and voice and help other people who are in the struggle, because I know the struggle. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. I'm currently in California, but I'm from Detroit, Michigan, and I know the struggle. That's a whole nother talk show. But yes, I went through a lot to get where I am right now. This was not easy. This was not easy at all. But I knew that by me telling my story and by me being able to help other people to see and let their light shine, that I could be a vessel of change here in the world. And that's how Infinite Queen Natural Healing came up. That's about it. Sort of.
Sort of. So, what kind of advice would you give to someone who comes into this information? You know, they go receive this diagnosis. What would you say to them? What would you say to their families? You know, you know, you need a
with
support system.
With multiple
sclerosis? Right. What would you say to them?
Okay. Yes. I would tell people that there is no limitation. There is no stopping you. Anything you want to do in life, all things are possible. And I speak that just because I'm a freaking walking example. I'm a walking example that anything is possible. There's nothing in this world that can stop us from what we want to do. As long as you get your mind prepared, and this including the person diagnosed and their family also. People, we need people to speak life. You speak life, you speak healing into your family. You speak life, you speak healing into especially people who are diagnosed with MS or any other health issues. You know, anybody with an invisible illness, anybody who, you know, might be dealing with any, I could say anything. Like, as long as they have the support and the care of other people who are willing to speak to them and tell them that this is not the end and they can still accomplish all their goals, then they can do it. Unfortunately, I did not have that per se. That's why I decided that I was going to be what I did not have for other people. You know, people have, if you want to talk about it, talk to me. You know, that's how I decided. I will be that person for other people who may not have somebody to talk to about what they're going through, because I do understand. More than just book knowledge, I have real life knowledge too.
All right. Can we talk about your spiritual journey? Like, I see a lot in your name, you know. Can you kind of share with us your spiritual journey, if you don't mind?
Okay. Yes, Dawn, because that's my birth name, of course. Rise, because that's what I do every day. I rise like the phoenix from the ashes. I don't just say that. That's the truth. I had to become this person. I was not born, you know. Well, I'm not even going to say that, because I think I always had it within me, but it had to be tapped into. You know, when we talk about spirituality and stuff, I do a lot of things, you know, especially if you're talking about African spirituality, which is all sorts of things. Like, listen, we're talking horoscopes, we're talking astrology, we're talking tarot, we're talking speaking with ancestors, we're talking chanting, we're talking a whole lot of stuff. So, I mean, I do quite a bit of those things. You know, I'm definitely very familiar. Like me, I'm into incense and oils and candles, candle work. If people see on my page and stuff, if you're on Instagram, on Facebook, and you go to Infinite Queen 323, on Instagram it's Infinite underscore Queen 323. But if you go to any of these pages, you'll see the services I offer. And definitely, like, with my spirituality, it's in everything I do. There is nothing, even with my counseling, even with my career support, everything I do, there's some spirituality in that, because I know that within speaking to and being connected to my ancestors, they will lead me and guide me wherever I need to go. I'm not sure if that answered your question. Please, please let me sure.
That was perfect. So what role did your spiritual journey play, if you would like to talk about it, in your healing journey? And what would you say how necessary that is, if at all, a component in regards to healing?
Of course. Like, you have to, if you want true, like, I'm a natural healer. I do not take the medicine, the doctors, the practicing, I'm doing the quotation marks, you guys can't see my fingers, but the practicing physicians want you to take these medicines that, and I don't want to put too much out there, but if you want to know more, contact me, InfiniteQueen323, and I'll give you some information. But what I will say is spirituality and how you feel about yourself, how your ancestors speak to you and talk to you, that is what gives you that strength and ability to fight on another day despite whatever setbacks you might be experiencing. I've experienced quite a bit. I've experienced muscle spasms. I've experienced going blind. I've experienced severe pain. I've experienced some stuff that I can't say right here on the radio. But I've been through the different hurdles and humps. And through all of that, throughout this 15 years, without spirituality and knowing, not thinking, not having faith in, but knowing the truth about myself and my healing and having that connection with ancestor, with spirit, there's no way I would have made it this far. No way. No way at all. Mm-mm.
Hey, I heard it now. I better call up. You understand? Host the services that she offers and provides. I don't even think it's enough page to get into, you know, each one specifically. We're going to try to do as best as we can tonight to kind of give you an overview. But we do have a caller, and anyone else who is listening remotely, also the chat room is open. So if you don't want to call in, you could actually get into the chat room. So if you had a question or comment in the chat room, you could actually ask that question and get into this call, and then we can continue on from there. Is that okay?
Sounds good to me.
All right, area code 678. Area code 678. You are on live, Thinking Out Loud Thursday, when Kingdom Rise and Knowledge Born Alive.
What's going on, y'all?
What's going on?
This Ken Oxygen Allen, you know, I go by Oxygen, that's my poetry name. Just wanted to give support to Don and ask a question. But I'm loving this show. This is beautiful. Y'all having a good dialogue. This is great.
Yeah,
Thank you.
You guys set up something with us, you know what I'm saying, and give us some oxygen over here. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Call in, you know,
and
slide, and
you will
pull it,
and
it'll
just be like, oh, okay, now I'm just
right. Listening.
I got a question. You understand?
Yeah. So. Yeah, well, you know, me and Don go way back, you know what I'm saying? Been on each other for a few years in the poetry community, and I've never met a soul so kindred and so beautiful and just open, like an open book, and she teaches a lot. She teaches a lot. You think she's in her 50s and 60s the way she talks, you know, helps you and everything. So
wow.
I really support her.
Thank you so much, Ken.
anytime. So my question is, like I said, support. Don, like, what did you, you know, because, you know, you have stigmas with invisible illnesses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What did you... going through school and stuff, how did you get through that? Did you have a support system, or did you create a support system? What pushed you along in the realm of support? Because you seem supportive of everybody else, but I wonder how
mm-hmm.
does the support come for you?
Oh, goodness gracious. I should have known. I'll tell you the honest truth.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my support just came from with a lot of what pushed me came from within myself and within
right.
my friends. Friends like you.
Amen.
Like you.
Amen.
Who was there when I graduated. Who was there
right.
for me.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
honestly, I didn't always have that. I didn't always have that, and I had to push myself. I had to be my own support. I had to be my own strength, because my focus has always been, as you know, on helping other people. You know, it's a big part of my life. It's why I went into the fields that I went into, so that I can be able to help others. Now, sometimes I guess I was lucky. I was lucky that when the right people came into my life at the right time, you know, even though it might not have always been family, it might not have always been, you know, people who I knew my whole life, but they came when they need, when I was, well, when they were needed into my life, just like how you came. Just how, just how, like everybody who came into my life, they came in right on time. That's how the universe works. So if you want to call it God, if you want to call Allah, you want to call Buddha, whatever, work towards me getting what I needed at the right time. I never felt like I was all alone, because I knew that my purpose was bigger than me. You know, my purpose was not just woo, 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 poor Dawn. My purpose was that I was going to be of service and of help to others. And that's how that went about. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful for you and other people who came into my life who was there for me when I needed
you. I'm grateful for you, too. So I know the other people are, too. You're a beacon of light. You don't know, Infinite Queen. You're a beacon of light. So keep it going. We support you.
I say, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So, Brother Oxygen, before you go, you need to shout out your social media links and things like that. But I did have a question for you.
Go ahead.
This sister that we got on here today, you actually heard her kick some poetry somewhere before?
Oh, my God. Have I heard her kick some poetry, bro? She can spit, she can sing.
Hey,
so she got melodies, man.
She left that out in her bio. You see how it go?
Don let me hear some of the tracks she recorded back in the day. We was young, you know, so she got some good stuff, man.
Trying to slide this all professional, entrepreneurial, super critical analytics up in here. We didn't know we had this whole other creative side, you know.
She got
the creative or the super intellectual. We got both. So look at that. Thank you, Oxy. You just gave me some breathing room up in here. Yeah.
Right. Anytime, man. Anytime.
Yeah, so please drop your link to where people can find you, your work, where people can support you.
Oh, yeah, give my link. So I'm Oxygen, that's OXYGEN, the poet, THEPOET. That's what I am on Instagram, on Facebook. Just my regular name, Kenneth, KENNETH, space, Allen, ALLEN, space, two capital I's for the second. If you don't put those I's on there, you will never find me, because Kenneth Allen is a popular name. So Alan the second, that's it, right? I got a little business site on there, but I can't find my business site on Facebook no more. It's called Lyrics and Rhyme Inspirations. Lyrics and Rhyme Inspirations. So you might find, I don't know. But I'm not performing anywhere anytime soon. I just got a new job and they got me all over the night schedule, so it's hard to get out there. But you know, look me up on the social media. I got poetry on there. Oh, on YouTube, you can look me up on YouTube, Lyrics and Rhyme Inspirations on there, too. Lyrics and Rhyme Inspirations. You got to type the whole thing out on YouTube, Lyrics and Rhyme Inspirations. And that's it, man. All right.
Appreciate you coming through.
I'm grateful.
I'm going to be reaching out to you so I can book you, so we can have the Oxygen Show. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Thank you, brother.
Liberation Through the Spoken Word series on here. And you know, we had some poets come through, because you're trying to get poets and MCs and artists and authors all in one spot. Like, it was kind of too hard. So I went to kind of you know, have for the poets, you see what I'm saying? Because they don't get the same kind of shine as, you know,
right.
an MC or an R&B artist, you see what I'm saying? So it's kind of niche, kind of niche in that regard. So, you know, we were doing that here with the sister who made the poem Formation, Hannah Drake. And a couple other poets, they were doing it, and it kind of like went to the wayside. It was like, all right, you're there, yeah, I'm excited about it. And it was like, yo, I got to perform. So I can't stand it.
Right.
What someone does, you see them saying for a living to be their family.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always an opportunity there. So if y'all get a group of folk together and y'all want somewhere where people can find y'all like once a month, something like that, just let me know.
Okay, no doubt.
Awesome.
All right. All right, y'all. Y'all be easy now.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, I'll contact you.
Okay.
Okay.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace. I'm going to get you oxygen telling my business out here.
He's a great poet. He's a
yeah.
I met him at a poetry spot years ago. I met him,
wow.
And he's fire. He's fire, yes.
Yeah, we just had my brother Abyss on, Abyss Grimm. And, you know, we linked up at the first annual RBG Music Festival. You know, he brought a couple other folks who premiered on the Deaf Poetry Series, Lyric Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, those folks was fire. You know what I mean? So
yes.
He looked a whole lot different than, you know, when I see him on Deaf Poetry. So it was having the best talk, you know, I was saying, so I was like, oh man, this is what's up. So
yeah.
He's supposed to be out here on Friday. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I was just going to say, that's actually where I got my start at. Because, and that's how I was vendoring. I started off as a vendor, you know, just going from place to place, location. But I always got love in the poetry scene. The poetry scene, the conscious kid scene, the RBG scene. I've vended at studies events. I've vended at KTR's Degrees events. I've vended at Red Pill, Blue Pill. I've vended at Young Pharaoh. I've vended at everybody's stuff. Anybody who was talking about something, I was there.
Okay. That's what's up right there. Gonna have to collab because I'll be hitting the highway, the airway, the plane, whatever. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
Seeing what's going on. So yeah.
Yeah, I miss vendoring. I moved. I don't live, that was when I was in Detroit. But I don't vendor out here. Not yet, because I haven't found my niche and stuff just yet in California. So I'm all online. All my services are offered online now, but I surely miss that. I miss being a part of the community and stuff, especially where Nala is. That's where I'm supposed to be.
You near LA?
Not too far. Not too far. About an hour or so.
Yes, it's going down to LA. I can give you some information to some places.
Because,
you know, everybody always going to LA. Do that. Oxygen came in here and shook up a whirlwind. You know, you understand what I'm saying? How long you been, you know, recording and writing, and you know, how did you get into that?
He exaggerates. Maybe not so much, but yeah, I have recorded and I have worked with a producer or two in my day. I have, you know, I'm a person who, wherever my spirit leads me, that's where I am. So that's how I write. Whatever's led to me at the time, at the moment, that's just what comes to me. A lot of my poems also involve songs. So, yeah, I do sing quite a bit. But my focus is on my business these days.
Out there in California, you got to be busy.
The price of living. Do you know about how much it costs out here? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
this is like, if you don't have a grind, if you're not on the hustle, this is not the place to come to. I hate to say that, but But out here, homelessness is typical. It's very, 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 very easy to be homeless in California. Like, for a one-bedroom apartment, you're going to spend $1,500 easy a month.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got to be on at all times. People wonder, like, why is she always trying? I don't have a choice. I got to survive. I got to eat. I got to live.
But you said you wanted to answer something before.
Yeah, I do. I want to answer one of your questions because you asked me something earlier, and I'm not sure if I really went into detail. I probably was talking about spirituality. Who knows? But what I wanted to answer was what you asked about being a business owner, and the struggle is real.
Yes, let's go into that.
Okay. It's very difficult to be a black business owner. It's really hard. I've seen so many businesses fall. I was actually at one point I was going to open up an actual location shop, but everywhere around me, businesses were falling left and right. Everybody I knew, all the businesses that I loved, with people who had the same drive as me, people who I thought, at least I'm the type of person, if I get behind you, I believe everybody can make it. I used to have a business also called Infinite Excellence, and we had a pop-up shop for black-owned businesses for other people to, you know, come and sell their stuff.
Right.
And because I always push and support black-owned businesses because I know, and I done seen it with my own eyes, how hard it is to get support. And that's from family. That's from friends. That's from anybody. Getting that support is not easy. And definitely don't expect to go get a loan. It's not going to be easy either.
Right.
Yeah. And in order to do, like, what I'm doing, I'm an entrepreneur because I have help. If I didn't have help, I probably would have fallen by the wayside my own self, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard. It's not easy. It's hard trying to round up support. Even for me, like some people might be like, oh, she has it together. Yeah, I'm a strong person. So I am able to, like, I can take a licking and keep on ticking. You know, I fight. So even if it isn't good, I'm going to make it look great. You know, I'm a wounded healer. I'm a person who's been through a lot to have to get where I am. So I know that in order to actually be able to be a business owner, you have to be extra strong because it's not going to come easy. You know, we get into these businesses thinking that our family is going to support us, that we're going to, like, people are just going to come from miles around because we have the opportunity and we have the help they need. No, it doesn't work like that. You have to be out here 24/7 on the grind. The other businesses I know, they don't sleep. The business,
right.
They don't sleep because you got to be. Like, people are like, wait a minute, she up at 3, 4 in the morning. I better be.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
You got to. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what are some of the things that, some of those lessons learned, you know, almost like with, you know, the other situation that you could share in regards to business, in regards to healing, in regards to, you know, all of these things. You know, I'm asking these questions, you know, because someone needs to hear them. You know what I mean? Like, I see this stuff on social media. I don't know who needs to hear this. Everybody needs to hear this. This is my, you know, I don't know who needs to hear this, but no, everyone needs to hear this. Attention.
Right.
Let's, you know, let's go.
I agree. It's. I wish I had the end all answer for all the problems and everything of everybody. I mean, I can help people. I will find something for you. You know, if I have to look through, I'm gonna find the answer. But every person is different, and what works for one person is not what always works for another. So that's what I learned, like, especially in my years of counseling. I was actually, my most recent place before I decided to be an entrepreneur, I worked at a substance abuse agency. So I'm also, I forgot to add that in too. I'm a substance abuse counselor also.
Wow.
And because of that, what I learned You know, because I've worked with, in rehabilitation, I've worked with people with disabilities. I've worked with the prison population or people who are getting out of prison. I've worked with the homeless population. I've worked with, like I said, substance abuse. I've worked with a little bit of everybody. There's nobody, no type of people I probably haven't worked with. I've worked with those who were once prostitutes. I've worked with people who are victims of domestic abuse. Everything. Everything. And because of that, I learned there's no end all. There's no one fixer for everybody. Each person is going to depend on who they are, where their mind is, what they want to do, how they want to heal, and what they are willing to accept and what they're willing to work on. So what I do is I help people to find out what their goals are, which is different for each person. You know, somebody's goal might be something simple like waking up and taking a shower, you know, but there might be another person who might have a goal like, I want to be a star. So we have to work on these different levels. So, yes, it's hard to think of one particular goal for or one way to help everybody. Only thing I could, I guess, love yourself. Love yourself. Love others. And don't give up. That's my goal. That's it. Love yourself, love others, and don't give up. Don't. And if you do need somebody to talk to, and I'm available, you can always talk to me.
That's right. With your life experiences, you know, everything that you had to learn from, what are some of the biggest takeaways that you got in regards to me? What did you learn most about yourself?
Wow, this will get deep. Hold on, you're going to have me over here crying. I'm trying to be strong. I'm a strong black woman.
Hey.
But no, it's the truth. What did I learn? I learned that I am a lot stronger than I once thought I was. If I could go back to little girl version of me and up to now, you know, like, I'm a 360. I've changed so much. I've grown so much. I've expanded so much, and I had to do this. You know, like, I can't even begin to, like, tell the story. Actually, I tried to tell the story a little bit. I did on my group. Oh, yeah, Natural Healing Support Group on Facebook. I'm putting little plugs in.
Gotcha.
Natural Healing Support Group on Facebook or InfiniteQueen323 or Infinite_Queen323 on Instagram or Infinite Queen Natural Healing. It's tons of ways to find me. But anyway, with what I've gone through, to get to where I am now, it took nothing but strength. That is the moral of my story, that I'm a lot stronger and a lot more than I once thought I was. I did not always feel that way. Like, I speak to people all the time, and, you know, people have low self-esteem, or they're going through something, or they're not feeling good about themselves, and this is both men and women. You know, and one thing I tell them is all things are possible. Keep your faith or your knowledge in a higher source. You know that there is more to you than what meets the eye. Nobody can put you in a box and say this is who you are. You can be whoever you want to be. You know, I was once put into a box. I said, she's just a black girl from Detroit. She's not going to be nothing. She ain't nothing. She ain't never, you know, her. She don't come from nothing. You know, she come from a bad situation, you know, with growing up and stuff. And I'm not going to go into detail on a radio show. But I didn't have that. I didn't get that option of this is that you have this great silver spoon and this is this great life you about to have. I didn't get that. I got the exact opposite. And I had to create myself. That's why I say I rise like the phoenix from the ashes every day, because I had no choice. Wow, okay, that was intense.
Well, we definitely, you know, this is a safe haven. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
Okay, safe haven over here. This is what Thinking Out Loud is. You know, this originally derived in twofold. You know, originally, Mark Zuckerberg has a little prompt when you get on the Facebook and says, "What's on your mind?" And this is where social media becomes your couch, you know, your psychiatrist, you know, psychoanalyst couch, where you lay on the couch and you tell Mark Zuckerberg and his administration all of your problems, all of your family business, all of your life business, what you're thinking right now, what you're doing right now, what you ate, what you're about to eat, you know, all these other things.
Right, isn't that crazy?
And it's not really intended for these particular purposes. This really means that, you know, we're surrounded by millions and millions and billions of people who would want somebody to listen to them. They're telling you what's on their mind. You understand what I'm saying? So a lot of things linked to depression, mental health, things like that. You know, I wanted to get your take on that. In essence, look at where we are. And I get very, very specific because this platform is not for anybody else other than us. You know,
right.
Nobody else need not even apply. You understand what I'm saying? This is for us, by us, for us, first, always, and forever. You see what I'm saying? So,
all day, every day.
In every regard, you know, putting together this series, this Thinking Out Loud Thursday, was like twofold, you know, with two particular purposes in mind. First, you know, you nobody's going to come and nobody's going to block you from here, or, you know, Facebook jail or whatever the case may be. You're here to be your authentic self and express what's on your mind, your heart, your spirit. You know, that's one way. And you can keep it. You see what I'm saying? And then two, you know, kind of like a strategic planning session, you know. So for those folks who have ideas and looking to bring them into fruition, I do the research for them and whatever, and we have a strategic planning session here on Thinking Out Loud. So you can actually brainstorm, you can think out loud, we get together and get these sessions, you know, together, and then boom, we'll set up the strategic planning session where it's fruitful. I just won't do that for free. You understand what I'm saying? I can't.
Yes.
I can't. But there's other aspects. I'll listen to you, you know, for an hour, hour and a half, you know what I'm saying? I'll listen to you, you know. You want to talk, you want to vent, you want to get this stuff off your chest because it's healing.
Right.
And I want to absorb
it. Sure
is. You know, this is not the Green Mile where I take the stuff in. You understand where I ingest it myself? Mm-hmm. Like, no, this is free reign. You can, you know, talk about whatever's on
That's
your mind and, you know, be free. You know, I'll respond to you sometime, you know. Do what you gotta do. So if I think it's gonna be that conversation, that's exactly what you'll have that. But as far as the, you know, these other things, strategic planning sessions, we really want our people to be their best authentic self, you know, on every aspect, physically, emotionally, psychologically, psycho-spiritually, you know, you, not what I want for you, but what you want for you, you know. So that's here. This is what the platform is really kind of designed for. And this is why we got together, you know. So these are aspects
I'm grateful.
Of that,
I'm beyond grateful for you.
This is what we do here. So ain't got to worry yourself. You know what I'm saying? So you was talking about show flow and format. Look. Bam! You understand what I'm saying? We got some oxygen came through, brother. Oxygen came through. Gave us, you know, our second win. You understand what I'm saying? So,
Now, I'm grateful for this platform that you have created and all that your plans to do. We're going to definitely have to work together. We're going to definitely have to get some things going. Because people need this. This is needed, you know, this is needed, especially in our community. I think you were saying something earlier about what we as a people need, or what, like, as far as mental health and things of that nature.
Right.
You know, I think that you are on the right track. I definitely think that being able to be open and being able to voice their opinion outside of social media is a good option, a good option for people to have, to be able to just get it out, because a lot of people are holding a whole bunch of stuff in, you know, like, and a lot of people, like I have the natural healing group for this reason, so that people can heal, because you can't move forward if you're still stuck back when you were 10 years old, or when you were 12 years old, or 15, or however. It's something you have to work through and move past, you know, and I'm grateful that there's an option, you know, that you've created this. I see a couple people trying to do this, so I think this is going to be a good thing. This is definitely going to be a good thing. It's going to help a lot of people. As far as, like I said, I can't give the one end-all option, but I think that being able to voice your opinion, to voice your thoughts, I believe that being able to feel safe and feel comforted is important. It's very important to people, especially those who are going through something or who are in need of healing. You know, having an empathetic, understanding person to listen to them so that they can feel, like I said, safe and comforted. That's very important, especially and within our people, because a lot of us do not feel safe. We do not feel comforted. We're in survival mode because of where we come from and what we've been through as a people. A lot of us are still fighting and going through, was it post-traumatic slave syndrome? You know, we're still in the struggle. We're still in the fight, even if there's nothing to fight about. People are out here fighting for no reason. But there is, I mean, as a people, of course, there's something. If I'm talking about people who are just fighting with random strangers and just going around starting arguments for no reason at all, like, we got some serious stuff we need to be fighting about. We got some serious struggles we need to be going towards. You know, it's some serious things, but people are really in some real minute, small little bit of nothing situations and arguments about stuff that's really not important when you think about the big picture. People are a lot of people are consumed with themselves, and they're not thinking about the whole. People are just thinking about what's going to work for me, you know, and what's going to help me, and what's going to make me better. Me, 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 I. But what about us? What about we? What about the whole, like, when I decided to do what I was going to do, I wasn't thinking about Dawn and MS. I wasn't thinking about the struggles that I had in my coming up. I was thinking, how can I take my situation that I went through in this life and help others to find hope within themselves? Because within helping others, you'll find help for yourself. It always works that way. That's how the universe works. Back to spirituality. You know, if you put good out, it's going to come back. And some people can say, oh, no, it's not going to come back. Oh, you don't know what I've been through. Well, I've been through something too. And because of that, if you're not putting out good into other people, how can you expect anything but what you're putting out to return to you? Karma is real. For those who don't believe it, karma is real. And by putting help to other people, putting love into other people, your people, our people, it's going to come back to you. And there's nothing else that's going to happen but that. And it might not come back in the form of, like, some people might want money. You might want, I don't know, cars. I don't know, clothes, homes, all that type of stuff. It may not come in that way. It might come in that one person that you saved their life because they was going to take their life. And by you talking to them and being there for them, you stop somebody from taking their life. So that's why I do what I do, because I know that the whole collective is more important than just me. So that's that. Hold on, talk a little bit more. But anyway, love yourself, love others, respect others, and just make sure that you never forget that you are not alone in this world. No one is alone, even if you think you are.
That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little delay over here, so You jump right in the field of space. You understand what I'm saying? You're professional now.
If I'm going to say something, don't worry. I'll find something to say. I do lives also. I usually do it every Sunday in my group or on my page. I used to do Saturday and Sunday, but I'm live. And I do, right now I'm doing Survivor Sunday. I'm trying to do Survivor Sunday. I want people to come, like kind of what you're doing. You know, so that's what I said. We need to collab and stuff. Because I can send you in your way who got stories.
Please,
we're going to work together.
Yeah.
We're going to build this up together. Because, you know, I sit there and I talk to people and stuff. And I know so many people. I've talked to so many people. And they have stories. But everybody don't want to get on, like, the radio or definitely not on Facebook Live or something or YouTube or Instagram. Everybody's not that person. Some people are more behind the scenes. You know, that's something else, another situation we need to work on as a people. We need to
write the books then. if they don't want to be seen speaking about it in those arenas, then write about it.
Right.
You don't have to be you. You can write fiction. You know, you can write nonfiction, but leave your name out.
Poetry.
Blah, blah, blah. Tell your story. Right. So use these avenues of approach to be seen and heard, even if you don't want to be seen and heard. Because someone will benefit. Somebody will be like, yo, this is me in this story. Sister Soldier wrote some phenomenal books. And one of the latest books, she was talking about, you know, Wentz's little sister, Portia, having multiple personality disorder. And you would think from her writing that these were different characters they was talking about. They were talking about the same girl. You understand what I'm saying? She found the man that loved her. All of that. He's like, I love all of this.
You have to
what
tell me
like
what
everything.
Book that is, because I don't have that one. I have a couple other ones, but I don't have that one.
It's an interesting book.
Through writing, like you said, she's able to say what she is. She's also a speaker. She's doing it all. She's powerful. She's one of them people who I look up to, like her. Maya Angelou. You know, of course. what's the other Ayanna Vazant? You know, that's the people who I look at and I'm like, well, they made it through. Look at what they're doing.
Right.
They're helping other people because they were able to survive their situations. Why not? Why not tell your story and help somebody else? That's a good idea. We should all be writing.
Right. You have to, because otherwise, you know, if you just limit it to your social interactions and being more social with the media than business-minded with the media, then you know, these are the pitfalls that you run into. You know, they're bringing your social media posts to your trial hearing, you know, to your parole board. You understand what I'm saying? Like, this is,
isn't that crazy?
To your
school,
campuses, to your places of employment. If you decide to get employed, get into college, you know, these are further discriminatory practices. That they're using for excuses in, you know, the systematic family business that we call racism or supremacy, because it's a family business. You know, the families benefit from our detriment, you know, and everyone in between, from us to them. Everybody else in the color line spectrum benefits from us being in this state. And it has a bearing on you epigenetically, spiritually, psychologically, mentally, emotionally, and physically, all have a bearing on you.
Oh, that's
and you have
true.
To be able to, you know, deal with those things and find some coping mechanisms that won't kill you. Because they got some stuff out here. That stuff will kill you. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it ain't just drugs I'm talking about. Sugar will kill you. You know? White sugar will kill you.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, you know,
for real,
so, like all
they
of these things
more addictive than cocaine.
Right. right? So we have to have, and you could be addicted to your pain body. You could live in your pain body, and you don't feel like you're whole unless someone hurts you. That's a cycle of abuse. Same cycle of addiction. Same thing. You see what I'm saying? So you carry that around, and you reproduce.
That's true, and now you're passing this on. Passing this on to future generations because you never heal. Your thoughts, your ideas, and your vibe, your tone, your energy, everything. All of that's going down. So this is so true. We so need to link up. This is so true because I talk about this stuff a lot. Like you're saying a lot of stuff that I've been talking about, and we are passing down these same, you know, we call them, we call these generational curses and all this. No, it's just you need healing within your generations. But from each generation, each person that heals, they heal seven forward and seven back. You know, so all these generations of future or even in the past are being healed because you decided to heal and better yourself. And it's so possible. Something else you said, I wanted to say something about. When you're talking about, you know, social media and how it can affect any different level, you know, like your job, your education, stuff like that. My grandmother told me, when I told her I was deciding I was going to go and get my master's, because I have two master's, I have master's in community and rehabilitation counseling. She told me now is the time, especially because the school I went to was not, it was predominantly white, and she told me that I need, and this is my grandma. My grandma not on social media, none of that. She told me, Dawn, you're going to need to hush it up for a bit just so you able to get through school. You know, like I said, the revolution will not be televised. You know, sometimes we have to just, we have to hush it up for a little minute. She told me, just chill out and get through, because everything that you are doing can come back to bite you, because these people do not want to see us better ourselves. They don't want to see us definitely not get two masters. They definitely not. And I graduated cum laude at the top of my class, and they were not trying to see that. They were watching with a fine tooth comb. I heard stories about people who, and I saw with my own eyes, people who got all the way to the top. They were, their papers were excellent. Their reports were excellent. Their work was excellent, and they still didn't graduate. They still didn't. These is black women I'm talking about, black women who were excellent, and they did not make it because they was being too vocal. You know, they were talking too much. So maybe writing might be an option, especially for those who are thinking about going into higher education, especially if you're going, and I can't even say, I don't know about the HBCs, you know, and black universities and all these other schools and stuff. I'm not really sure, but I know that in the situation that I was in, it was cutthroat. I went through a class where it was two black people in the whole classroom, and this is in the year 2000 and something. You know, I was in only two black people in the classroom, all white people. And it was a class I was in for counseling, a counseling class I was in. No, wait a minute. This was the one on cultural diversity. They gave everybody in the classroom a topic. The topics were, like, it was African-American. It was, like, different types of people, different races of people, and what you would do in the situation. The two black people in the whole classroom, me, a strong, powerful black woman who wears myself very comfortably and my blackness very comfortably, you know, with long locks flowing down my hair. Actually, they're really long, but with long locks flowing down my back. And they gave me the topic of white identity. I knew exactly what was going on. My people was terrified. Like, why were you given that topic? You know, white racial identity. Why was I given a topic like that? Because I talked about, it was about white superiority, and it was also about, the word is popping, is slipping my mind right now, but the, what is it? Superiority, I'm not sure where the guy is, where you are, King. But it was about white superiority and something along that line, or how they're able to get ahead of us as a people, you know, and they gave me that topic. And because of that, I had to stand up in a room full of white people and tell them about how they have some kind of white superiority complex and how they think they're better than black people. And that's the topic that they gave the black girl with dreadlocks. That's the topic they gave me.
That set you up.
Yeah.
They
set me
up.
I was set up. And I passed the class, but that was the only, I was an A, B, straight 8B student, always A's, always B's. That's why I graduated cum laude instead of summa cum laude, because of this class, because they gave me a C. I'm like, I'm an A student, B's at the lowest, and they gave me a C in that class because of that very speech that I did. That's the world we're living in. Yeah, it's, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I left, I graduated, and now I'm able to help my people and do what I want to do and say what I want to say. But while I was there, I had to, I was in the danger zone.
They will try you. They'll try you, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a situation with the psychology classes and the sociology classes and the bioanthropology, you know, classes. If I didn't see any young African children in there, I wouldn't have said anything. You know, I don't care what you tell white people. You can tell them whatever you want to tell them. You know, when I start looking around and seeing these young African impressionable minds in there, I'm like, nah. I'm gonna have to interject a little bit. You know what I'm saying? We seen a couple of black people in the class. He was listening to Tim Wise and Jane Elliott and all this other stuff. He started talking about white privilege. I said, oh, shit, here we go.
Yeah, white privilege, that's the word.
White folks and white privilege. I said, oh, shit, here we go. And I forgot I'm gonna say that. Then I seen the sister doing the north south with the head nod. I said, So I had to catch him after class, and I was like, hey, you're a white dude, man. Be a white dude. It's okay. He's like, how do you mean? You just said you're a 57-year-old white man who ain't never experienced racism in your life, right? And he said, yeah. And I said, and then the next breath you tell us that you identify, you know what it's like to be us. He's like, yeah. I said, don't you see the contradiction? He was like, huh? I was like, you could never in your life know what it's like. And I said, the privilege that you're talking about is just your family inheritance. You benefit from the skin that you're in. It's okay. We know that. Keep your ass over where you at, and we over where we are. Don't ever say you can identify again. I said, and you're racist. I said, and you're racist. Your race, like, and it's cool. I was like, I don't care. You know, that's fine. You see what I'm saying? I said, I'm going to show you that you're racist. I said, I'm going to turn my paper in, and it's going to be an A paper, but you have to give it a C. You're going to grapple with yourself and your determination that your whiteness will stand, because this is inherently you. This is you. I'm going to show you you if you never saw you for the first time. I had his wife as a teacher, and I had him as a teacher. His wife gave me an A for the same paper, and he gave me a C. Just like I told him. And he was trying to explain. I said, I told you that this is what you was going to do, and you did it anyway. You understand? Like Neo in the Matrix sitting before the Oracle, and she's like, don't worry about the vase. He's like, what vase? He's like, I'm sorry. She's like, I told you. Like, don't worry about it. I get one of my kids to finish. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we had this event, and I invited him and his wife out to the event, and I gave them an award for their work in the community, 25 years of peace, working in the community with families in regards to the social sciences from the psychological standpoint, and they was bugged out. Like, he gave me a seat and came to this event. I said, I'm going to show you who I am outside of this classroom. So he's in there with the mayor and all these other people. I'm like, who the hell is this dude that was in my class? I need you to understand that that was just class. Like, this is an education. You understand? So the next time a black man walk into your classroom and tell you that you don't identify, understand that you don't identify. And don't ever say no shit like that to no black people again in your life. You understand? So, like, that was just bugged out. And that's just, like, one instance, you know? And if it wasn't for the minds that was assembled there, I wouldn't have said anything. I just would have been laughing. I might have been, you know, coloring or some shit in the classroom. You understand what I'm saying? Like, because there wasn't nothing really there. They're like, oh, man, you're in psychology and you got sociology classes. Oh, man, that's deep. Mm-hmm. So I said, no, it was a lot of writing. You know,
I love those type of class. That was good days.
So it was just bug. You said, so I'm like, all right, whatever. You know, it's just really saving papers, doing research, you know, doing all of those classes and writing all of those papers, you know, for somebody to steal your ideas in their conferences and pass them off as their own.
Oh, you already know.
So,
that's what they do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it is, siphoning through that. How did you come to this determination with this and this? Yeah. They play games with you, you know, and they'll try you and they have you doing their work to try to justify their existence. I'm like, man, go back to listening to Jane Elliott and Tim Wise. These black people alone. That's all you need to hear. So, yeah. Anyways. Since we have went through the school saga, I ain't want you to leave me out there by yourself. They try you.
Right.
They try you in every regard, you know. I couldn't even imagine what it's like for face to face now. Like, does face to face interactions now where all this intersex, undersex, sex, super duper, like, I couldn't even imagine. It's gotta be like a circus. You see what I'm saying? It gotta be like a circus. You know, it's crazy. Crazy.
We're living in a crazy time, you know.
Right.
But I survived, and that's the moral story.
Right. That's the truth.
It was close, though. I had some close calls. My grandma was terrified. You know, my grandma, she's from the South. And so she was terrified. She swore I was about to be lynched and killed. Like, if I was too much of me.
That's
these
real.
Classes with all these white folks.
Right. Right. And she was giving you that ancient wisdom, like, hey, you're not there for that.
Yeah.
And I think you know, as long as we are in interaction with our enemies and our enemy school system, that we ought to train our children in the way that they should go. Like, you own, this is business. This is a business transaction. It's got nothing to do with nothing else.
Mm-mm.
You understand? Like,
yeah. This
is a business transaction. You go handle your business and you come home until such time that we're able to do these co-ops and we can learn the real, you know.
Yeah.
You go there, you handle your business and do what you need to do, and that's it. That's it. You get your culture home, you get prepared, right? All of that. You see what I'm saying? Until you're in a position to where we can do the homeschool co-op, you see what I'm saying? We got to do what we got to do, but we have to have them focus on their mission. It's a missionary. You know, you don't have friends in school. They're not your friends. You understand? Like, these are people that you work with, and you know, they will do you in at work. Who's that talking? Boom, the black kid in the class. natural instinct for them to report criminal behavior because that's what it is. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that. Natural.
Mm-hmm.
And then the criminal is pointing at someone who's innocent. You see? Someone who's seeking to mimic that behavior. You know, you can do what you see these other people doing in the class. These are conversations. They're like, oh, it's a shame. No, it's necessary. All these other children, they have those conversations with their parents. They're just doing it in a different language. You don't speak Spanish. You don't speak French. You don't speak Arabic, whatever. This is how they're having these conversations. And the white children, they just say, have a good day at school, honey. That's it.
Because
they rule the world.
They don't have
like
to worry about survival, surviving through school, surviving through.
Right, right.
We have to talk like this. We have to. We have to talk to our children like this. We got to prepare them, especially, like, I don't want to go there again, but I will say, when I was getting my master's, we had all of one black male in my classes, in the counseling profession. We had one, and he did not even graduate with us. Like, they, especially some of these schools, and I'm not going to say that that school is a bad school, because you're going to learn, because they're going to teach you what it's like in the real world. They're going to prepare you for real life experiences. So that's one thing I can say about the school I went to, which name I would not put out there, but it's on my Facebook page if anybody wants to see. But the school, the school will prepare you for who you need to be, especially if you go to graduate or doctorate level. It's going to prepare you. Just be ready and be strong. Right. And be strong. You know, and especially if you are a young black man, you going to have to fight twice as hard. Like, they let a couple of us women across, they let us walk across stage, you know. They let us make it.
Right.
But not a lot of us. Definitely not a lot. Yes.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but Frank is the moral of the story of today.
Right.
So, I'm so grateful for you giving me this opportunity.
Right. So you got any closing remarks before we get up out of here? Any acknowledgments, any final words, any words of wisdom, words of encouragement, words of value, and all those great social media links that you shared? And also your business links where people can find you and support you.
Okay. First, I want to give all honor to my ancestors that have come before me. I pay homage and gratitude to them for all they do, because I know in all the words I speak that they speak through me. So that's my first, always going to be my first to give the gratitude. Now, I also want to give thanks to my boy Ken for coming on, Oxygen the Poet, showing up, showing out and stuff, and, you know, showing me that he there for me as always. And then I also want to give thanks to the city of Detroit, you know, where I come from. I definitely want to give the honor to the city of Detroit, who made me into the strong woman I am. However it happened, I still was made into the strong woman I am. So for that, I'm grateful. You prepared me for this life that I had to live. I want to tell you guys to come visit me on Facebook. You can find me as the Dawn Rise Ma'at Queen, or you can find me under Infinite Queen 323, InfiniteQueen 323. Or you can just go type in Infinite Queen Natural Healing, and you can find me there. That's my page and stuff. If you do message, you will get a direct message from me. You can find me on Instagram at Infinite_Queen323. I'm also on YouTube. I have a page on there, and that's Infinite Queen also. I have two pages, Infinite Queen, and then I have Infinite Queen Rising in Cali. Yeah, Infinite Queen Rising in Cali. Let's see, where else am I? I'm all over the place. Just type in Infinite Queen into Google. It's a good chance you're going to find me. If you type in Infinite Queen 323 into Google, you're going to find me, because I'm all over. I've been doing this for 5 years, so I typed myself in, and I came up. let's see. Let me think of one more. I have a lot of services I offer. And like I said, I do counseling. I do support, career support specialists. I do assessments. I do resumes. I help you build your resumes. I create your resume. I do cover letters. Like I say, I do assessments, so I can find out what career is best for you based on your personality type. I also do mock interviews, so I help people learn interviewing skills, and I teach you what they're going to ask you when you go to these interviews. Let's see, in counseling, I do anger management, self-esteem, conflict resolution, and talk therapy. Let's see, I have the natural products at www.infinitequeen.com, www.infinitequeen.com. You can get whatever products you need. I have a lot of products. I have shea butters. I have black soap. I have products for the pain. The one that I use that got me started, Caridi Hot Rub. I have oils. I have products to grow your hair. I have products to stop breakage. I have some other products, too. I'm going to be adding them soon, so you'll see them also, because I do have the natural shaving cream also for the men. You know, it's all natural, made with black soap and shea butter. Let's see. Oh, yeah, and then I forgot. I do natal charts. If you need your natal chart, you want to know about your sun sign, your moon sign, your Venus, your Mercury, your ascendant, your descendant. If you want to know what house your houses are in, first house, third house, fourth house, fifth house, I can help you with that also. And I also do readings for those who are interested in knowing something, who are looking for things on a deeper level. I can help you with that also. If you just go to Infinite Queen Natural Healing or Infinite Queen 323. I know that's a lot, so you guys are going to need to probably play the video back. play this blog talk back. But you'll be just type in Infinite Queen 323. You will find me.
All right. I heard all that. Play it back if you ain't heard all that she said. I want to thank you for your time, for your energy, for your candor, for your jewelry that you dropped in here, and your skillage. So.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here. And I'm just dropping these jewels, as you say, jewelry and gems. Thank you for your knowledge. Thank you for your gems that you're dropping, because you dropped a lot of knowledge today. I'm grateful for you. I always say that. You wonder, people like, why is she always saying that? Because we need to hear it.
Right.
As a people, we need to be very grateful, beyond grateful, you know, at all times.
That is right. So, if you're not going to kick us a poem or sing us a song.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I know you got something for them.
I don't really have a poem per se right this second, because I wasn't prepared. I would have had it out and stuff, because I've been slacking on the poetry writing lately, because
you
I've been so focused
in.
You
got something in that brain of yours. Yeah.
I don't know. Give me a song. Let me see. Let me think of an artist. I sing a little bit, and I'll sing a little something for you. Because I got you on my earpiece, so hopefully you guys can hear me. I might sing like a little.
Yeah.
I might sing a little verse. Let's see. I love the song that started off, because that's one of my favorite songs. And I love Badu. I do love Badu, but I think I might do some Jill Scott right now. So that's my girl, too. And I ain't going to sing the whole song. I'm just going to sing a little bit. Okay. You're here. I'm pleased. I really dig your company. Your style and your smile. Your peace mentality. Lord, have mercy on me. I was blind, now I can see what a king's supposed to be. Baby, I feel free. Come on and go with me. Let's take a long walk around the park after dark. Find a spot for a spark. Conversation, verbal relations, stimulation, share our situation, temptation, education, relaxation, elevation. Maybe we could talk about Revelation 3:17. That's all.
There you go. Y'all got a little sample on the spot, impromptu.
Just a little. I can't really say how that was sounding, but I guess I did okay.
You did that.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, and I'm grateful, and we're going to have to build, because I want to help too. I want to be a help to these babies. I want to be a help to these future, the people who need the help. I'm going to be a help. So if you need me, you know how to find me.
All right. If you need me, you know how to find me. You can find me in St. Louis. Oh, my bad. Not the Nelly song.
Uh-oh, he going to spit something? Can you spit?
No, I ain't got it. That was already too far. That already did too much right there.
No, that was something.
Yeah.
Wow. This has been a good time. I'm so glad that you gave me this opportunity, and I'm glad to be able to be here and on your show. You know, I was wondering, you know, what this was going to be like, and I'm just glad that it was everything that I thought it would be and more.
There you go. Now you got to tell your friend and tell a friend that, yo, that brother's knowledge, man, he's cool. You know, I thought it was going to be something crazy. I thought I was going to have to cut him. I was there from Detroit. Yeah, man. I'm still from Detroit. Yeah.
Right. I mean, but wait. Don't let the smooth talk fool you. I'm still a Detroit girl.
Yeah,
she live inside. She live inside.
Yeah.
I'm just a girl who made it out, literally, like who made it out. And I'm just grateful that I was able to survive the things I've been through and to be the person who I am now. I didn't let it stop me. And that's something else I talk about a lot. Don't let it stop you, and don't let it deter you from being who you're supposed to be. So I'm just grateful for you giving me this opportunity.
Yeah, you're always welcome. And this is your show to keep. You can download it, upload it. If you got, you know, that skill is to chop, chop, chop and make it sound nice and all that, please do what you got to do. You know, convert it to an MP4,
now
put it on your YouTube channel, you know. Make it an MP4, put it on your YouTube channel. Hey, share it in your groups. Like, hey, what's up?
Well, new skill. I'm also a memer. I forgot to add that. People are like, what's a memer? A person who makes memes, because I've been making a couple lately. So.
Get your meme in, Tom. Get your meme in, Tom.
Right. I'm like memer.
Yeah. All right.
So who knows? I might
try
to chop it. I might try to chop it. Who knows? I can't say, but I could try.
All right. Well, you enjoy the rest of your night. I know it's just getting started over here where you at. You know what I'm saying?
7:30. What's not even whole 7:30 yet?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this has been an hour and a half. It's been good. This is good. I'm just glad my phone still had the juice to make this conversation.
Right.
All right, King. I'm about to there we go. Okay, I just put it back in the charger. Okay, thank you again, and I will be talking to you soon.
Yes, ma'am. All right.
Peace.
Peace.
Oh, I am grateful to have been loved and to be loved now and to be able to love, because that liberates. Love liberates. It doesn't just hold. That's ego. Love liberates. When my son was born, I was 17. My mother had a huge house, 14-room house. At 17, I went to her and said, I'm leaving. She asked me, you're leaving my house? And she had live-in help. I said, yes, I've found a job, and I've got a room with cooking privileges down the hall, and the landlady will be the babysitter. She asked me, you're leaving my house? I said, yes, ma'am, and you're taking the baby? I said, yes. She said, all right, remember this. When you step over my door sill, you've been raised. You know the difference between right and wrong. Do right. Don't let anybody raise you and make you change. And remember this, you can always come home. I went home every time life slammed me down and made me call it uncle. I went home with my baby. My mother never once acted as I told you so. She said, oh, baby's home. Oh, my darling, mom's going to cook you something. Mother's going to make this for you. Love. She liberated me to life. She continued to do that. When my son may have been 5 years old, my mother would pick him up all the time and feed him. And I went to her once a month, and she would cook for me. So one day I went to her house, and she'd cooked red rice, which I loved. After we finished eating, we walked down the hill, and she started across the street. She said, wait a minute, baby. I was 22 years old. She said, wait a minute, baby. You know, I think you're the greatest woman I've ever met. She said, Mary McLeod Bethune, Eleanor Roosevelt, and my mother, you're in that category. Then she said, give me a kiss. I gave her a kiss, and I got onto the streetcar. I can remember the way the sun fell on the slats of the wooden seats. I sat there and I thought about her. I thought, suppose she's right. She's intelligent. And she says she's too mean to lie. So suppose I am going to be somebody. She released me. She freed me to say I may have something in me that would be of value. Maybe not just to me. See? That's love. And when she was in her final sickness, I went out to San Francisco. And the doctor said she had three weeks to live. I asked her, would you come to North Carolina? She said, yes. She had emphysema and lung cancer. I brought her to my home. She lived for a year and a half. And when she was finally, in extremis, she was on oxygen and fighting cancer for her life. And I remembered her liberating me. And I said, I hope I'll be able to liberate her. She deserved that from me. She deserved a great daughter, and she got one. So in her last days, I said, now, I understand that some people need permission to go. As I understand it, you may have done what God put you here to do. You were a great worker. You must have been a great lover, because a lot of men, and if I'm not wrong, maybe a couple of women, risked their lives to love you. You were a piss-poor mother of small children, but you were a great, great mother of young adults. And if you need permission to go, I liberate you. I went back to my house, and something said, go back. I was in my pajamas. I jumped in my car and ran, and the nurse said, she's just gone. You see, love liberates. It doesn't bind. Love says, I love you. I love you if you're in China. I love you if you're cross town. I love you if you're in Harlem. I love you. I would like to be near you. I'd like to have your arms around me. I'd like to hear your voice in my ear. But that's not possible now. So I love you. Go.